This morning, our readings are from the Old Testament, the story of Noah and the flood and the ark and the promise, a rainbow. And then the reading from Acts in the New Testament gives us a vision of that new world that God has brought into life, because his love will never let us go. And so first from Genesis. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth. For 40 days and 40 nights I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And then and chapter 8 begins like this. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. And then to add, not on the screen this morning, but to add for our hearing and to this day's lesson, a word that was written almost at the same time as the story of Noah. It's the prophet Isaiah who says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." And now from the New Testament.
Acts 17:21. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you. Thank you. Now, before I preach this morning, before I say a prayer, I want to be honest with you. At 9:45 this morning, as I was gathering my notes in my study, I realized something. That the sermon I had so carefully prepared, and I work hard on sermon preparation, and then try to remember what I had done. There's a great deal of reading and writing, thinking and praying, pondering. And at the end of that, there's usually, always, there's a manuscript in which I have tried to think through everything that I want to say. At 9:45 this morning, I realized there was no song. It didn't fit. It didn't come together. It wasn't a sermon that I wanted to preach. And my English teacher wife would say to me afterwards, "Where were your transitions?" I thought you would laugh at that, but... And so what you're going to hear today is not the sermon that I wrote. The sermon you will hear today is the one that will emerge. And there's a difference. Pray with me that this sermon will emerge. Oh God, we thank you for your tender word, your welcoming word, your challenging word. May your word find its place in the preaching and hearing of good news this day. Amen. I announced a few weeks ago that I would be preaching the Torah this fall until we enter the Advent season. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, and we're going so slowly that we'll never make it through all five books, will we? We're still stuck in Genesis. But that's such a good place to be. Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, it's a unit. Chapter 12 of Genesis begins with the calling of Abraham and the story of Israel. But until then, we have these 11 chapters that attempt to explain to us what the foundation of our faith is going to look like. It would be so difficult to understand the Bible, the New Testament, any of it, unless we have first gone through Genesis. So when Jesus says in the when Paul says in the New Testament, as in Adam all have sinned, so in Christ will all be made alive, you need to know who Adam is. And so these 11 chapters. It begins, of course, with such goodness. The Bible begins in doxology and praise. This wonderful God who looks out and who speaks, and from the spoken word of God there emerges this beautiful creation, the light and the stars and the planets, and then the earth and the animals, and then the people. And God looks and says, oh, so very good. That is the beginning of our story. We begin in goodness. The earth begins in light and with praise. Everything is in harmony. Harmony and goodness and grace and compassion and love. This is God's beginning with creation. And then immediately we see the reality of the decreation, the uncreation. Adam and Eve want to be like God, less, they say in the garden. We want to be like God. And there's a break, the first break, the harmony broken. They want to find life on their own. They want to be a God unto themselves. They want to be master of their own fate and destiny, the captain of their own ship. And so this harmony is broken, and when it's broken, they begin to blame each other. And the harmony that's perfect between the male and the female is broken. And then immediately after that, the story of the first brothers who were unable to live together in harmony and love and compassion, in which one felt hatred for the other and took him out into the field, and the first murder. This disharmony continues, and it builds over the generations until finally God looks down on earth after 10 generations, and God sees disharmony. God sees violence and uncaring. God sees hatred and revenge. God sees people living for themselves alone in disregard for the needs, wants of others. And then God says that he was sorry that he made humankind. He's going to start over, though. Something changes. And what changes is that God sees Noah. And God sees in Noah a righteous person. Noah walked with God. And because of that, God decides to recreate the world. That's the Noah story in a nutshell. It's God's second creation. God's going to create the world again. God's going to start over with the human project. And so Noah and the animals go into the ark, and the flood comes, and Noah waits. This is what we do. We wait. We wait for God's action and presence and purposes to unfold. And then there is new life upon the earth. What happens in the ark is that Noah and his family and the animals learn how to live together with compassion and understanding and forgiveness. There is no life. The fullness of life, the life that thrives. And this is what God wishes for us. This is what God wants from us. Not to go through every day of our lives just breathing and eating and sleeping and starting the day over the next day just doing the very same thing that we did yesterday. What God wants in our lives is us to thrive. God wants our lives to be a song. God wants our lives to be an exhibit of joy. God wants from our lives an example of what it means to be a forgiving person. God wants from us a loving response to whatever happens to us. And the story of Noah calls us to trust that. That this is what God intends, and this is how we trust. I've been in the work of ministry for 60 years, just about. Loved every minute of it. Well, no, not every minute. Every day. Maybe not every minute. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I've never had a boring day. I've never had a day in which I thought that it was boring to be in this work. It's just been one, it's been one thing of finding something new, finding something that I didn't know before, discovering once again how great and how gracious this God of ours is. But the one thing that I know, if I know anything at all, the one thing I know, it's this: that we in this life are connected to everything. Everything is connected. And everything coheres. Everything is brought together in unity in God. We are part of each other. We are members and part and family of one another. And there's no end to that. There's no boundary to that. But because we are part of one another, how I treat you is how I treat myself. You understand that? That is so important. That in giving you love and respect and forgiveness and grace, I am bringing that back into my own heart and life. And obviously, when I fail to do that, every attempt I have to hurt you hurts me. Because we are connected together, there's no separation. We are one family, one creation in God, in Christ, not separated from each other. And so, is it any surprise when the last judgment comes? You believe in the last judgment. You said so this morning. He will come to judge the quick and the dead. There will be a last judgment in which our lives will stand fully and completely before Christ. And he will say to us, and it's so obvious, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That in loving one another, we are loving our Christ, we are loving God. When we love and support and respect and forgive one another, we are bringing blessing on them, and we are bringing blessing on ourselves. The 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, I remember this so well. 1963, four men, Ku Klux Klan, put dynamite in the church, the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. 400 people that Sunday morning had gathered for worship. And when the blast went off, many were injured, but there were four little girls, ages 11, 14, 14, 14, white Sunday dresses. They're not just numbers four. They had names. They had names. God knows us by name. Our names are important. Denise, Adele, Cynthia, and Carol, four little girls, were killed by that dynamite blast in September of 1963, the 16th Street Baptist Church, Birmingham, Alabama, by members of the Ku Klux Klan. Miles away, in a little country called Wales, that had a strong tradition of Sunday school. The Welsh people really had strong Sunday schools. And there was a man who read about what happened that September morning in 1963 and got the vision of making a stained glass window as a gift to the 16th Street Baptist Church. He contacted the church and they agreed, but it needed to be paid for. And they came up with the idea of letting the children of Wales, the 11-year-old children, the 14-year-old children of Wales, be the people who would collect the money for the stained glass window. But they would not let anyone give more than 15 cents. Because they didn't want some wealthy person writing a check. They wanted everybody to get involved. And the children went out into the streets, into the schools, and collected their 15 cents from hundreds and thousands of people who must have known somehow, in a deep way, that what happened at the 16th Street Baptist Church affected what happens in Wales, 4,000 miles away. That this is just distance that human beings make, but there's no distance in the heart of God. People are not separated by miles. We are all together. We are one creation. There is one harmony, unity in all of God's creation. And today, if you would go into that church over the balcony, there's a stained glass window. It's a black Christ. One hand, he's on the cross. One hand is in welcome and one hand is in no, no to hatred, to bigotry, to meanness, to hurtfulness, to dynamite, to exclusion. Anything that would keep people apart from one another, no. And an open hand of welcome. I've seen that stained glass window, not in person, but pictures, number of times. And this time I saw something when I looked at it this week that I had never seen before. Over the head of the crucified Christ is a rainbow, which was Noah's sign that God's purposes for a new creation will never end. You know, this is all we get. I wish maybe sometimes there would be more that I could say that you can get, but this is all we ever get. We never get anything more than this. A promise. Promise that whatever rivers and floods and disasters and hurts and pains and losses and defeats we go through, promise. The promise that Isaiah made, that we read this morning. I've called you by name. You're mine. And that is enough. The promises of God will carry us everywhere and will carry us anywhere. Well, I didn't know what I was going to say when I started, but that's it. And I believe it. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your promises. That as long as earth endures, you will be our faithful God. A God that we can trust today, tomorrow, and always. Thank you for the rainbow that reminds us of your great and marvelous promises to us and to the world. Amen.